and thank you for downloading today's podcast. The name of the program is Manage Your Money God's Way, hosted by Compass Catholic Ministries. Our goal is to help you become better stewards of the gifts that God has provided you, better stewards of your time, your talents, and your treasures. And we're here to help you work through those challenges. You can learn more by going to compasscatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and as usual, in the studio are the co-founders of Compass Catholic, John and Evelyn Bean. Now, today's topic is aimed at those that recently graduated from college. Now, we're halfway through this summer. You've been out of school for a couple of months, and now we feel, and I'm sure your parents do, that it's time to focus on the future. So, John, what would be priority one for those college students?
Getting a job. It should be their most important task.
I'm sure mom and dad are ready for them to get a job after paying for college.
Getting a job should be your most important thing. It's necessary. You got to have money. Money, money, money.
And
if you can't get a job, find a different field. Do something different, okay? You need money. You can't live in the basement of mom's house forever.
Well, you could, but mom probably wouldn't enjoy it.
No. So, you know, by getting a job, it doesn't matter which field it is. It gives you some experience. It allows you to have a work history and helps you to earn some money.
Now, do you think somebody with a degree in one specialty should get a job in another specialty? Or should they hold out for something in their line of work or their area of study?
Well, let me ask you a very pertinent question.
Yes,
Evelyn.
I know. I never did what I went to college for. I did for about 6 months.
I think that you got to go with the flow, okay? That degree is a piece of paper. That's all. And it proves that you were able to withstand 4 years of college.
Or 6 years of college, as the case may be anymore.
Yeah, give or take, okay? Go find a job that's going to pay you some money because you got to be able to live. It's just that simple.
Okay, I've got a job. Let's just say I've got a job, whether or not it's in my degree of study. Now what?
Do you have a budget? I thought you'd never ask.
That's what I was just going to ask.
Do you have a budget?
I have a budget. In spite of the fact that it might seem like you're earning gobs and gobs of money on your new job, you're going to have a lot of expenses to contend with. Maybe you haven't had these kinds of expenses previously. So the best way to handle it is to put everything into perspective, get a budget, write down the various categories. Housing and food are probably the two most prominent. Maybe transportation is another one. Create a budget.
You know, I think that's a very good point, John, because when you're in school and you're not making a lot of money and all of a sudden you're getting a real salary and a regular paycheck on a regular basis, it's so easy to see that money as something you can just go out and have fun with and blow. And if you're not careful with that, then when the six-month insurance payment is due or when your health insurance premium is due once a year, when those big expenses come up, you don't have any money for it.
Yeah. If you've been living on a college student's shoestring budget, keep doing it. Keep doing it for another 6 months or 12 months and sock away all the rest of that money.
So what's the first priority for socking away the money? What's the first thing they should be saving for?
The very first thing they should be saving for is an emergency fund. You need a fund of at least $1,000. If you can put away $2,000, even better. But you already have probably, not everybody, but you probably have student debt. You may have some credit card debt that you're responsible, maybe even a car loan. So having an emergency fund will help you prevent going into a little bit more debt than what you've got already.
Okay, now speaking about debt, I've got an emergency. I'm building my emergency fund. Is it okay to still use my charge card?
No.
Not at all?
Only if you, there's one caveat. You can use it if you pay it off in full, F-U-L-L, full, at the end of every month. Because it's only going to get you into trouble. So you said that, so we're kind of shifting over into debt. We need to talk about the debt. And the very first thing is don't accumulate any more debt. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave of the lender." We know you've just barely been getting by, and maybe you need new clothes for that new job. But go easy. Pay cash, no credit cards.
Or if you use a credit card, pay it off at the end of the month.
Yes, yes. Gradually improve your wardrobe as the weeks go by. I mean, you just graduated from college. The people at work don't expect you to come walking in with a $1,000 suit on or, this unbelievably expensive spring outfit that you saw at the store. Don't do that kind of stuff. Go to a consignment shop. Go to the Goodwill. You can probably get more expensive clothes that are still in good shape for pennies on the dollar, and you'll be dressed better than most of the people at work.
You know, you were talking about having an emergency fund, one of the first priorities. Take into consideration, most the individuals that graduate college are going to be receiving cash from family members, their parents. So let's say I received $2,000 worth of gifts. Should I put half of that into a savings account or a quarter into an emergency fund?
If you got $2,000 worth of gifts for your graduation, that's like winning the lotto.
Mm-hmm.
And put it in the bank. Put it in your emergency fund.
Well, the other thing is, when you start a job, you don't get paid right away.
Right.
So there's always a lag time between when you start and when you get paid. So part of that money goes into the emergency fund, and part of it can be to fund your lifestyle until you get your first paycheck. And then you start using the paycheck money to continue paying for your daily expenses.
Would it be out of the question to recommend a second job, a part-time job, depending on how much debt you're coming out of college with?
Absolutely not. I think that's a great idea. That's not out of bounds at all.
Yeah, I think you really have to focus on your debt and getting it down as fast as possible. And we're going to talk about that as we go along. But that's a really important thing. Now, you don't want that second job to interfere with your primary job. You know, it can't be so many hours that you don't get the proper amount of rest, and you show up at work and you're falling asleep in conference rooms when they turn down the lights and that kind of stuff. So, you know, you have to use some balance and reason there.
But the faster you get that college debt paid off, the more money you're going to save in interest.
Right.
So that's important.
So the next thing, we're talking about debt here, the next thing that's probably on your list is a car. Do you really need a new car? Are there other means of transportation available to you? A bus, a carpool, a bicycle, train? You know, it depends on where you're living. Will the car that you have right now get you back and forth to work? That's the important thing. If you absolutely need a newer car, wait till you can pay cash for a good used car. If your car is in that bad a shape that you got to go out and buy one right now, wait until it just totally stops running. Nurse it along until you just can't go anymore. You just graduated from college. Nobody expects you to show up to work in a brand new expensive foreign car. Or even an American brand new car, okay? Just clean up what you have and save and save and save until you can get a good, reliable used car. Now, the next thing we should talk about is paying off debt. You need to decide right now, immediately, not to accumulate any new debt. And you want to pay off all the debt that you have now and do it quickly. Besides the student loans, the typical types of debts that are owed by new college grads would include auto debt and credit card debt and probably student loans. You got to start thinking, how can I pay these off fast? The best way to do that is to start with the smallest debt. But you've got to get your car loan and your credit card loans paid off quickly. And then you start tackling your student loans. I was reading a Forbes article recently, and according to Forbes, they said that the best way to pay off your student loans is probably to refinance your student loans as long as you can lower the interest rates. But now, there are downsides to doing that because you're going to give up some benefits like forbearance and deferral. Many lenders, though, sometimes offer some form of employment protection in case you get a job and then lose it right away. You know, there's other hardship benefits if you should later lose your job or can't afford to make payments.
And this is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching the best practices for handling money as laid out in the Bible. Yeah, in the Bible, there are 2,500 verses that deal specifically with handling money. You can learn more at compasscatholic.org. I'd like you to take a look at one of our Bible studies. It's called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, join me today. And we have been providing advice to recent college graduates on the steps they need to consider that's going to help them not only now, but also into their future regarding how they handle money. We've been discussing ways of paying off debt. We started out by talking about the importance of an emergency fund. The goal, of course, is to get to $1,000 in that emergency fund. And then we briefly went through the snowball effect. That's the paying off the debt. Take the smallest one first. And when that's paid off, then you look for the next smallest debt. But you're still paying the minimum in all your debt. So, John, what's another tool that's out there for paying off debt?
Another way to help pay off your student loans is through debt consolidation. Now, typically with debt consolidation, this doesn't change your interest rates at all. So if you've got high interest rates, you know, it's probably not a good way to go. And in fact, they kind of average all of the interest rates together to the nearest 1/8%. And therefore, when you consolidate, your rate could actually go up. But the good thing is that it does put all your loans with the same lender, so you're only making one payment.
Is that a benefit, just making one payment? I mean, it seems like it'd be easier to just make one payment, but do you think you're really gaining anything financially from that? I mean, what about just increasing your monthly payment? Couldn't you do the same thing by just putting another $100 or $200 a month towards your college debt and just pay the loan off faster that way?
Yeah, that definitely helps to pay the loan off faster. And the big plus for that is that you're not going to pay as much interest, you know, on the loan itself. So that'll reduce your charges.
Because you're paying whatever you have to pay plus another $100 or $200, so you're eating away at that principal faster.
Exactly, exactly.
Now, a few weeks ago, we were talking about some businesses that today offer help with their employees to pay off the student loan debt. What's that all about? Like some businesses are actually offering that as a perquisite of being employed there.
Yes, and it's gaining some speed with various companies. I think some of the technology companies are probably catching on to this faster than others.
Yeah, I got to believe it's an incentive to hire the bright, the new, right out of college, where they will match some 50 cents, some a dollar for dollar, that as you pay, they pay too. Or some are even contributing to your, by paying the student loan off for you. But I'm sure you're going to have to commit X amount of years of employment.
Well,
in order for them to pay off your debt.
You probably have to commit X number of dollars per month, mm-hmm. too. But check it out, because if you got a new job, make sure you're talking to HR, finding out all the bennies that you might be able to get that would relate to things like your student loan and that kind of stuff, in addition to the normal bennies like health benefits and, you know, that kind of stuff, 401ks.
Okay, I've got a question. There's two terms I've heard of as far as student loans. One's forbearance and one's deferment. So what are those and what's the difference?
That's a good question. And it does tend to get a little confusing. But forbearance allows you to pause your loan payments. You don't have to pay them right away. You have to be up to date when they grant the forbearance. Interest continues to pile up. So even though you're not making payments, they're still charging you interest. And so your loan is still growing, even though you're not making payments, okay?
That doesn't sound very good.
it could be good in, you know, in certain circumstances when maybe you don't have enough of a paycheck to help pay the student loans, or maybe you got a job and lost it right away, or something like that, or didn't get a job. Then you can go back to the college and talk to them about forbearance. And the other bad thing about it is that you could lose the potential of having repayment incentives that could ultimately reduce the rate. Forbearance, it's got fine print forever. And you got to make sure you read all of it to know what's going on if you get into forbearance.
We were working with an individual who did the pause, but I don't think it's intended for 10 years. So, I'm serious. She thought, she was on the impression that that you can hit pause and pay it back when, I don't even know when, but the interest accumulated, it was the loan was almost double because of how much interest had accumulated.
Yeah.
And she just never checked. The statement came every month. She never opened it because she said it was on pause. She wasn't aware the interest accumulated.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, so
that just seems like a brick wall you're running right into.
Yeah, so, I mean, it sounds good when you can hit pause, but they don't mean forever.
Yeah, I understand what pause means. Pause, and we're going to rack up the charges in the background. Well, what's deferment? What's the difference between deferment and forbearance?
Deferment works pretty much the same way as forbearance, except interest doesn't accrue during the period of time when you're not making payments.
So is there some decision factor that makes it you go one way or another, or is it up to you, or is there something about your loan that...
I think it depends on the loan and where you are in your payment schedule and how much money you're making. I mean, there's a lot of different things that...
A lot of hoops to crawl through.
Yeah, well, you just have to really research thoroughly.
So that would be a good place to get wise counsel.
Absolutely.
From a financial standpoint.
Absolutely.
Before you do one of those.
Absolutely.
What else about student loans? What else do we need to say about student loans?
Well, one of the questions that I've heard asked often is, can I still invest while I'm paying off my student loan? And you know, I think that's a pretty reasonable question. But it takes us back to the primary topic that started the whole conversation. Have you completed paying off all your other debts? If you can say yes, then the question of investing while you're paying off your student debts gives you a resounding maybe.
Why maybe? Why not yes or no?
Well, there's just so many things, and you know, it depends on who you talk to, which financial advisor, and stuff like that. If you go to the Compass map, which is found on compasscatholic.org, the map shows that student loan debt is considered consumer debt, and that's still in Destination 3. And so Destination 4 is where you begin saving or investing. So according to what we teach in our classes, your student loan should be paid off before you start your investing. But if you're listening to all the different gurus and what they're saying, it all hinges on the interest rates, both the rate of your student loans and the rate of return that you expect to get from your investment. You know, many people will say if the interest rate is below 4% on the loan and you think you're going to get maybe 6 to 8% on your investments, then it's okay to make the investment because
you're earning more than you're losing.
Yeah. You can be investing that way. But if the interest rate on your student loan is high, say it's above 6%, then you should only focus on paying off your student loans. One thing that you should do and make sure, and all the gurus are going to tell you this, before you do any investing, you must have an emergency fund. Now, another thing that you might consider is your company's matching 401 plans. You know, if they match your investment into the company's 401k program, you should do that no matter what your student loan is, because that's free money.
But you should still continue to pay something towards that student loan.
Absolutely.
You don't hit the pause button.
Okay. No, don't hit the pause button. You know, if the company is going to match 3% dollar for dollar, mm-hmm. or 50 cents on the dollar or whatever it is, take advantage, get the most that you can get out of that. And then, you know, stop at where they stop and spend the rest of your money towards your student loans.
So when you do that, you've got some choices about what you invest in, right?
Yes, you do. And you need to be careful because some matching programs that the companies have only provide company stock. And that's not bad, but you have to pay attention to the diversification of your investments. You don't want 100% of your investment to be in one company stock. So you want to try to keep the company stock down to a low level, 5% or 10% of your total investment. The rest of it should be in mutual funds of some sort that don't include your company stock. Ecclesiastes 11, 1 through 2 tells us that send forth your bread upon the face of the waters, and after a long time you may find it again. Make 7 or even 8 portions. You know not what misfortune may come upon the earth. So it's basically don't put all your eggs in one basket. Another thing that I've heard about investing and saving is just those two words, okay? And I was really surprised at this. People say you should save for retirement. A lot of people think about saving as putting things in a bank savings account.
Like a short-term.
Short-term that earns almost zero. And you don't want to do that. You know, you should invest for the long-term. You save for the short-term. I hope that makes some sense. All the stuff that we've talked about, you should always seek counsel. Sirach 32:15 says, do nothing without counsel, and then you need not have any regrets. And Proverbs 25:22 says, plans fail when there is no counsel, but they succeed when advisors are many. Work through this. Make sure you got the job. Make sure you've got an emergency fund. And make sure as you go along each step, you're seeking counsel.
There were many ideas that we shared today. And if you missed any of those and you'd like to capture those, let me give you a couple of choices. One, you can go to compasscatholic.org on the homepage, scroll down and click on podcast, and you can listen to the show again. You can also share it with a friend or family member. Also, Evelyn has a blog. It's called I Just Graduated from College. She has all that information that we just spoke about in that blog. That also is at compasscatholic.org. Just click on blog and you'll see it. You know, having a financial plan upon graduation is crucial. Putting together a budget, and the important part is not only having a budget, but sticking to it. Begin eliminating your debt. Save for your emergency fund. Save for the future. I know you're thinking, well, that's a lot to do, but once you begin executing each one, your financial life becomes a little less stressful. And before we leave you today, let's get to a couple of emails that we received this week. John and Evelyn, we just received an inheritance of $7,000 cash. We do have credit card debt of about $5,000, but we need a new car. What should we do with the $7,000?
If you're confused about how to tackle your financial situation, I think the best thing you can do is look at the Compass Money Map, which is on compasscatholic.org. There are 6 destinations there that lead to true financial freedom. And check off each step within the destination that's not complete, and then go back and concentrate on completing the steps in the earliest destinations that you haven't completed, because that will lead you to true financial freedom if you follow it.
And in this case, your best bet is probably to pay off the credit cards first. And then the money that you are spending on credit card payments can be used to save for a good, reliable, used car.
Our next question comes from Marilyn. And she says, we want to start to budget, but we don't know where to start. And then in capital letters, she says, help.
Starting a budget can be difficult because if you don't know where you're actually spending money now, all you're doing is pulling numbers out of thin air. So the best place to start if you're trying to start a budget is to track every penny you spend to see where your money's actually going.
And then after you've done that for 30 or 60 days, it's time to build a budget. And you have a starting point to do your budget based on what your actual spending was. Otherwise, you're just, you know, like Evelyn said, you're pulling numbers. It doesn't work. There are tracking sheets available on compasscatholic.org. If you go to the resources page, you will find them.
And we have time for one more. John and Evelyn, our daughter is getting married this year, and we have two options to pay for it. One, a home equity loan, or two, borrow from retirement funds. What would you recommend?
You know, it's really dangerous to jeopardize your financial future by paying for something short-term like a wedding. So I would decide, you and your husband need to decide, you and your wife need to decide how much you can afford for the wedding that's not going to jeopardize your financial future. I'd sit down with your daughter and her fiance, tell them what you can afford to spend, give them that amount, let them budget, and let them figure out how to make it work. But don't pay for the wedding because you're going to hurt yourself in the future.
John and Evelyn, as always, thank you so much. Now, if you have a question for John and Evelyn of a financial nature, maybe you have a financial challenge that you're struggling through and you'd like some advice, they are open for all questions. Just send those questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. That email address again is ask@compasscatholic.org. Also, if you have feedback on today's show, we would love to hear your thoughts. Send the feedback to info@relevantradio.com. That's info@relevantradio.com. For John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And remember, we have a brand new podcast that we upload every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, click on podcast. Not only will you find the most current show, but you'll also find the archive library of all the past podcasts that we've done. You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way, and we're from Compass Catholic Ministries.